an unpleasant thing to think or talk about hell, but hell is a real place. The Bible talks about hell, the fire, the torment. Jesus talked about hell, and we should too. Tony Broom Ministries welcomes you for the following Bible message entitled, Gnashing of Teeth. This is one of those unpleasant topics, the expression, gnashing of teeth. That's what I want to talk to us about. Gnashing of teeth, it's coupled with either wailing or weeping. You hear of weeping and gnashing of teeth or wailing and gnashing of teeth. Such an awful thing. What in the world could be responsible to cause someone to gnash their teeth? It's probably about the most outstanding reaction to suffering or to anything that you could imagine. Because of missing the kingdom and outer darkness, that would certainly be a reason for weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This will be an awful time for many people, because they will come from all over the world. It says they will come from the east and from the west, and they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the people that are known to be the head patriarchs of the Bible, the Israel especially. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob really represents the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Abraham, the father of many nations, Isaac, the promised son, and Jacob, the one who has power with God. They will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a wonderful thing. But the children of the kingdom, those who should have gone to heaven, those who should have been part of the kingdom of heaven, will be cast out into outer darkness. Outer darkness, Isaiah talks about gross darkness. These young people now, they think that they came up with all these hip words about groovy and gross and all that. And it was in the Bible many years before all of us were even born. So the Bible's pretty hip. The Bible is all in and on time. Current time is right with it, as far as we would say. The Bible is more current than today's newspapers, certainly more current than the television, the internet. And the Bible, the old story, it hasn't changed. You read it 20 years ago and read it now, and it says the same thing. But it's current. It's more current than any event. And it talks about gross darkness. The Bible talks about darkness in Egypt, so dark that you could feel it, so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. They will be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be an awful time that people have realized that they have come to the end and they have missed it. They somehow will know that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of God are in the kingdom of God. It's referred to here as the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come back and he's ruling on the earth, and he now sets up his kingdom, and they are seeing somehow all these wonderful people that have come into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. I'll use that probably interchangeably, but they themselves are cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of sin and hellfire. I know that preachers don't talk a lot about hellfire now, but certainly sin will send a person to hell, and there's real fire in hell. Jesus talked about hell, and he talked about hellfire, and he says that there's a real hell, just like there's a real heaven, and that real hell has real fire. Matthew 13, verse 40, As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now the word they use for world is aionos. It's not cosmos, like the earth and the world that we look around and see. It is aiona, or here aionos, which means the unlimited limits, if you will, the universe, the world, the age, the end of this age. That's how it's going to be at the end of this age. People are talking about the end of the world. Is the virus, is the pandemic, is the situations, and are the situations in this world, is that the end of the world? Well, I know what they mean, but there's no end of the world as you know it. The end of the world is talking about the end of the ages, the end of the age. Just like the tares, in this parable of the wheat and the tares, the wheat is growing up and the tares are coming up there with it. And then there's a time of separation when the tares are gathered together and they're burned in the fire. That's just the way it's going to be. Just as real as those tares are taken from the wheat and cast into the fire, that's the way it will be in the end of this world, the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. When the rapture takes place, the saints are gathered out from the wicked. When this takes place, the wicked are gathered out from the saints, at least those on the world, and the kingdom which will be at that time. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Nobody wants to go to that bad place called hell. It's such a bad place that some kids don't even like to say that word. And I'm glad that there are children who don't like to say that word in the wrong way. And so instead of saying hell, they will say that bad place. And certainly it is a bad place. It's described here as hell fire. It's described here as a furnace of fire. Hell is burning right now this evening, and there are many people that are in their furnace of fire, and it will be one day a lake of fire which will burn with fire and brimstone. They will, all these who do iniquity shall be cast into a furnace of fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the net of separation. Verse 47 of Matthew 13. This is a parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. There were all kind in that net, all kind of fishes in that net, just like there are all kind of people in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are, that is, what kind of color or ethnic or genealogy or generational background, kindred, tongue, and kind, and tribe, that doesn't matter. What matters is the separation, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. The good and the bad doesn't depend on what color you are. It doesn't depend on where you come from. The good and the bad depends on whether you know God or not. Those that are good, they were able to use the fish. They kept those, and the bad they cast away. That's the way it will be. And he says it right here. So shall it be at the end of the world, the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. They will take away the wicked out from among the righteous, the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now Jesus said two times right here about the furnace of fire, the furnace of fire. There is no discrepancy. There's no denying that there is a real hell fire. And preachers who won't tell you the truth about hell fire probably won't tell you the truth about the goodness of God in heaven either. The hell fire is just as real as the sweetness of heaven. There will be a furnace of fire, and they will be cast into the furnace of fire where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of insisting on doing things your own way. When it comes to salvation, you cannot insist on doing things your own way. You have to do things God's way. Matthew 22:11. And when the king came in to see the guests, this was a wedding that was furnished with guests, and they had made the invitation, and there was still room, and so they went out, and they sought for people to be brought in to fill up the wedding with guests. And the king, the master, comes in to see the guests. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He didn't have on the right wedding garment. He didn't have on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He didn't have anything to say. When you are questioned on that judgment day, why did you not go to church? Why did you not get right with God? Why did you not listen to the preacher? Why did you not read your Bible? Why did you not serve God? You'll do the same thing that this man here did. He was speechless. He didn't have anything to say. And there are many generations, multitudes, who will stand before God on that judgment day. And when they're questioned about their life, God already knows. But when he puts it out there for them, right before them, they will not have anything to say. Because guilt does that to you. Guilt will cause you not to have anything to say. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to discourage us this evening, but that could be our grandchildren. That could be our children. That could be our neighbors. That could be people who we know and people who we don't even know. It doesn't matter whether they were our friend. It doesn't matter whether they were our family member. The verdict will be the same thing on that day as it was to this man. Yeah, Lord, but he went to church at Easter. Yeah, Lord, but he had a Bible. Yeah, Lord, but he liked Christian music. It will be the same thing. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Such a horrendous thing to have said about our people, about anybody, about the person that you would say you dislike more than anyone in the world. You still don't want anyone to go to an awful place like hell, where they will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the king says, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The gospel invitation goes out to many. They're called, but few are chosen. Fewer hear the gospel call and come to Christ and receive him as Savior and make him their Lord because of long waiting and loose living. They say in Matthew 24:48, and it talks about the good servant. Blessed is that good servant who, when he is waiting and his Lord comes and finds him so doing, blessed is that servant. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We think the Lord is not coming back. We just lose heart and start to lose faith. And so we begin to smite our fellow servants. We talk about brothers and sisters in the church. We find fault with the preachers in the church. We find fault with the church and the Bible and even God himself. And we turn back to the old ways. We start eating and drinking with the drunken. And we go after the things of this world. The scripture says that he will come in a day that he looks not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of. When you're not living right for God, and you're not doing right for God, the coming of the Lord will always be a surprise to you. But when you're living for the Lord, when you love the Lord, when you serve the Lord, no matter when he comes, it won't be a surprise. It might be an amazement, and it might be a hallelujah, but it's not going to be a surprise. And when he comes, and that evil servant is found doing evil, he will be surprised by the coming of his Lord, just like when your mother and father used to come home and find you unprepared. They told you to take out the trash. They told you to do what you should do and clean your room. And you said, I got all day. I can play. But shazam, before you knew it, it was time for mom and dad to come home, and they came home and caught you unprepared and caught you doing something you were not supposed to do, and certainly you were not doing the things that you were supposed to do. and they caught you by surprise. They caught you unprepared, and that's the way the coming of the Lord will do many people. They will be caught unprepared and be caught by surprise. And it says that he was cast away. It says that he shall be cut asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. I don't want to go to church with those hypocrites. There's hypocrites in the church and hypocrites in the ministry. I don't want to go to church with them. Well, you can either go to church with them or go to hell with them. There's two ways about it. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of being an unprofitable servant. Matthew 25:28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And they said, Lord, he's already got 10 talents. He had 5 and he was faithful and he gained 5 more. And now you're saying, take this 1 talent from this guy and give it to him. He's already got a lot. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. If you depend on what little bit you have, it'll be taken away from you. You try to be so scared. You try to operate in fear. It'll be taken from you. And you will not serve God faithfully. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We do not want to be unprofitable servants. We want to be profitable servants. We want to do what our Lord tells us to do. We want to serve God because of not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the main reason that there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13:24. He talks about the broad way to destruction. And he talks about the straight and narrow gate, the way that leads to life. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, or as we say in Vance County, has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, give reasons why he ought to let you in. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. There are many people that will stand before God on that day, and they will knock at the door to get in. And he'll say, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I don't know you. And they'll say, yeah, Lord, but I went to church. Yeah, Lord, but I put money in the offering plate. Yeah, Lord, but I gave to the Jude Hospital. I gave to the children's ministry. I did this and I did that. And by the way, Lord, we visited where you used to go. We went to the Holy Land. We went there. You have eaten and drunk in our presence, and you have taught in our streets. You taught in the very street that we walked on. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. What an awful time. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. What an awful time it will be. Not only will you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but you'll see all the prophets in the kingdom and the sinners. You yourselves will be thrust out, not just taken out gingerly or easily. Don't offend nobody. Don't hurt nobody. No, it says you'll be thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. That's all directions. Shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is there. It's a real kingdom. And God tells us, Jesus tells us, pray, thy kingdom come. And we're supposed to pray the kingdom come, because the kingdom is coming. It's just as real as the nose on our face. He gives us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And thank God, those who walk in the light of that city will be blessed. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. Jesus, our loved ones, are there. And those who are on the outside, dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, those who lie and work iniquity, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, I pray this evening that you would help us to be mindful of the realness, reality of heaven and hell. There's a hot, burning, torturing, tormenting hell, and nobody needs to go there. It was prepared for the devil and his angels and not for any human, but there will be many who will go there. And I pray, Lord, today that you would help us to have the grace and courage to witness for you, the boldness to speak your word faithfully, so that many people could be saved from going to that awful place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been listening to a sobering Bible message entitled Gnashing of Teeth. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you make Him your Lord. That way you will miss that awful place called hell. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.